have someone that you can turn to for trusted financial guidance? Would you believe that almost 40% of adults say they don't? I am Rob West. You may be among them, struggling to manage your finances on your own with no one to answer your questions. Well, it doesn't have to be that way, and Art Rayner joins us today to talk about the very special Certified Christian Financial Counselor Program. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest Art Rayner is director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health, which administers the Certified Christian Financial Counselor Program. Art, great to have you back.
Rob, it's always a pleasure.
Art, why don't we begin by you sharing with our listeners what these special counselors actually do?
Yeah, Christian financial counselors help individuals and couples discover and pursue God's design for money. So practically, Christian financial counselors guide individuals and couples in making wise financial decisions, build sound financial habits, and increase their biblical and financial literacy.
Yeah, that's really important. Now, for our listeners today who are wondering whether they need a Christian financial counselor, what would be some of those maybe warning signs or indications that they're ready for one?
Yeah, it's a great question. We actually have a list of signs that may indicate you would benefit from a Christian financial counselor, starting with the fact that your finances feel out of control. Your finances feel like one big mess. You know, every month, you're just flying by the seat of your pants. There's no direction, only disorganization, and it stresses you out. You know that something must change. So a Christian financial counselor can help make sense of the mess. They can help you develop financial goals and organize your finances. They can help you know what financial step to take next. Second, you need help creating and maintaining a budget. Now, most of us know that budgeting is a good idea. However, many don't know how to craft a reasonable budget or have struggled to stick with one. This is one of the top reasons individuals and couples seek out a Christian financial counselor. A Christian financial counselor educates clients on how to craft a budget and keeps them on track. Third, you are loaded with debt. You know, the Bible says that debt is a burden, and anyone who has carried debt would agree with that. And as time goes on, the burden feels heavier and heavier. And so a Christian financial counselor will review a client's debt and craft a debt payoff plan. Having this plan in place and providing a regular check-in motivates clients to pay off debt more quickly. Fourth, you are regularly arguing about money with your spouse. This is a big one. God designed married couples to operate as one, even in the area of finances. Yeah. And you want this, but you need help to get on the same financial page with your spouse. Money is not a point of unity, but a point of division. So a Christian financial counselor can help a couple get on the same financial page. They can help couples understand one another's money personality and how their past experiences with money are influencing their decisions today. And then finally, you need accountability. You know what you need to do, but this knowledge only sometimes leads to the right action. You are still tempted to spend money you should save. You still should give, but you're giving out of your leftovers. You still need to pay off your debt, but you're adding to the credit card balance. Regular meetings with a Christian financial counselor can help create accountability around your finances.
Boy, those are so helpful, and I'm sure many of our audience find themselves in one of those five ideas that you just shared. Now, I'm sure they're wondering, is there a fee for this service? So how does that work, Art?
Yeah, another really good question. Ultimately, it will depend on the Christian financial counselor that you choose to work with, but usually there is some type of hourly session fee, just like you would pay with any other type of counseling. And this fee actually helps clients stay engaged and finish any next steps the financial counselor provides. They have skin in the game, and so they are more motivated to do the work. Plus, the ROI that you typically get from a Christian financial counselor is more than worth the fee.
That's really helpful, Art. And then the last question, of course, is where do they go to get more information?
Yeah, so they can go to christianfinancialhealth.com. And if you're looking for a certified Christian financial counselor, there's a search tab right up at the top. If you want to become a Christian financial counselor, click on the certification tab to learn more about the program.
We are honored to partner with the Institute for Christian Health. And Art, it's been great to have you with us today, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Folks, to learn more, go to ChristianFinancialHealth.com. That's ChristianFinancialHealth.com. We're back with your questions right after this.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. It's always good to look back and reflect on what God has done in your life. And what better time than now as a new year begins? I'm sure last year brought you highs and lows. Sometimes the highs of life can be especially high, and the lows especially low. But regardless, God was with you. He knew your needs. In some way, He met them. And that holds true for the year to come. Every day, God is your provider. In Jesus Christ, you are cared for. And because of Jesus, that's true into eternity. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." Try out Anchor Devotional at getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
If you're a Jesus follower and you feel defeated by your failures, join the club. But let me remind you of something. God's faithfulness to you is not conditioned by your faithfulness to Him. He is faithful to you no matter what.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for God Has Not Forsaken You on the next Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Listen to Turning Point Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Many in the Middle East are going through horrific circumstances and are seeking refuge in Lebanon. Heart for Lebanon is bringing them hope, and now you can help.
We endured shelling and hunger. We witnessed death everywhere.
$116 brings emergency supplies and the hope that only comes through the gospel.
I want to spend the rest of my life telling people about Jesus and His salvation.
Give now at faithfi.com/Lebanon or call 888-201-5577.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions. We'd love to hear from you today with your questions on anything financial, no matter what you're thinking about in your financial life. Maybe you're wrestling with your estate plan. You're wondering, is trust right? Do I need a will? How about getting out of debt once and for all? And the best way to pay off your credit card debt? We can tackle that here today. Or maybe you're concerned about the stock market and how to properly allocate God's resources. Whatever's on your mind today, let's talk about it in light of biblical wisdom as we recognize God is our ultimate treasure and money is a tool to accomplish His purposes. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. There are lines open and you could call right now. You get right through 800-525-7000. In the news today, inflation hasn't gone away, in case you haven't noticed. The Department of Labor announced this morning that inflation rose more than anticipated in September, largely due to higher energy and housing costs. That's right, because of some of the geopolitical issues we're facing over in the Red Sea and the Middle East. Obviously, oil has been on the rise. You're feeling that at the gas pump, housing costs as well. The CPI, Consumer Price Index, which measures measures things like gasoline, groceries, and rent. It was up 0.3% in December compared to November, and that's more than experts expected. Since the same time last year, prices have climbed 3.4%. Analysts were looking for something more in the 3.1% range. So again, slightly higher than expected. But it does look like inflation is not as high as it was. That's the good news. What they call core prices, which includes food and energy that can change quickly, climbed 0.3%. That works out to be 3.9% annually. Now, how is that good news? Well, here's the thing. It's the first time since May of 2021 that core inflation fell below 4%. We're at 3.9. And inflation has fallen a lot from its peak of 9.1%, although it's higher than the Federal Reserve target of 2%, of course. Now, as we've talked about with Bob Dahl and Jerry Boyer and others, the Fed is probably close to getting a little bit more comfortable with something in the threes because the pain that would have to be inflicted on our economy to get to that 2% target is certainly not something we're going to be ready to stomach anytime soon. So we're probably settling into a higher than typical inflation range here moving forward, at least higher than we've experienced in the last couple of decades. Nevertheless, the squeeze is still on, right? Because all of these annual inflationary increases are on top of one another. They're cumulative. So that 9.1% didn't go away. That's still with us. And then we're adding this 3.1 or 3.9, depending on which measure you look at, on top of that, which is why you're seeing such a squeeze on your family budget. So let me finish with this idea then, and we'll go to the phones. By the way, we have some lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. It's more important than ever, especially in light of rising costs and prices, for you to be on a budget, for you to have a spending plan and be dialed into how much can I spend on a monthly basis so that I have margin to accomplish my goals. The only way you'll be able to stay on plan is if you have a spending plan. That means you've got to have it locked in, and then you have to have a system to control the flow of money in and out. That's why we designed the FaithFi app. And so if you're ready to get on a budget this year in 2024, we'd love for you to check it out. You can do that on our website, faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. Just click app and you can get started setting up your spending plan today. It's built on Larry Burkett's tried and true envelope system. We think you'll love it. It's also available in your app store. Just go to your app store and search for FaithFi. All right, we're going to head to the phones here. We've got some great questions coming. Let's tackle your questions as well. 800-525-7000. We're going to begin in Texas today. Linda, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question. I have a large loan that my husband died and left a huge debt. And I've paid off, it was $25,000. I paid off $12,000 in a little less than a year and a half. I've just been pounding it. Well, I have it down to $13,000 now, and I'm paying $250 more per month than what the payment is. And I'm wondering, should I ask them to take that $250 off of the principal, or shall I just make that large payment?
Yeah. Okay. So let me just make sure I'm clear here. So first of all, Linda, and thanks for that background information. That was really helpful. This is a personal loan. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So you owe this to an individual
owe it to a credit union.
Oh, a credit union. Okay. But it's not a credit card. It's just a signature loan that you got?
No, it's just a signature loan.
Okay. And what is the interest rate on it?
It's 6.50, I believe.
Okay, yeah. So not a terrible rate, especially by today's standards. But okay, yeah. But something clearly you want to get rid of. So I'm delighted to hear you paid down so much so quickly. So you've got $13,000 remaining on the $25,000, and you're sending the scheduled monthly payment plus $250 every month. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that should already be being applied to the principal every time you make the payment. Now, you may want to double check that, make sure they're not putting it on the end or something like that. But essentially, that scheduled payment is covering your interest plus any principal that's built into the payment. And then the $250 on top of that is going right to principal reduction. And that's great. So now you're accelerating the payoff. Now, is your question, should I accelerate it even further? Or where are you getting tripped up here?
Well, the reason why I ask is because I had a little bit of extra money, so I sent them $1,000 extra. And she said, do you want me to apply this to the payment or to the interest? And so I didn't know if they did not apply that everything over and above my payment to principal.
Yeah.
Or what?
Let me just ask a clarifying question. Did she ask, do you want me to apply it to your payment or to principal? Or did she say, do you want me to apply it to your payment or to interest?
She said, do you want me to apply it to your payment or to principal?
Okay, or to principal. Yeah. So here's what she's saying there. You have to make your scheduled monthly payment every month, right? And that has built into it a portion to interest, probably, and a portion to principal. Now, what she's saying, whenever you send a number that's higher than that, she's saying, is this an extra payment? And therefore, you want the whole $1,000 to go to principal, and you're still going to send your monthly payment separately? Or are you sending $1,000 and we're to take your scheduled payment out of it, and then whatever's left over, apply that to principal? So she was probably just clarifying your payment schedule and whether this $1,000 was truly all to principal and you're still going to send your payment, or whether you just kind of baked your payment into it. The bottom line is, as long as you make at least your scheduled monthly payment every month, you're on track, and then anything you send above that is going to go to principal, and you can check your statement or log in online every month to verify that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. I appreciate
All right.
it.
You're welcome, Linda. Listen, keep up the good work. You're doing great. You're going to get there before you know it, and I know that'll feel really good. Thanks for your call today. Hey, folks, we're going to take our first break of the morning. We've got a lot more to come. We're just getting started. Steven in Georgia, Brandon in Alabama, coming your way just around the corner. We've got lines open, though, for your questions. 800-525-7000. Call now.
Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Progressive elites in Hollywood, big tech, mainstream media, and higher academia are lying to our next generation. They want to convince our young people that America's biblical foundation is offensive, outdated, and must be overthrown. Your gift today will unleash AFA action to share the timeless truth of why protecting the biblical family is essential to the survival of the American Republic. You'll also get the free DVD and booklet set, Progressive Threat to the American Republic. Visit AFAaction.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's head right back to the phones to Georgia. We go, Stephen, you're next up. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm on the fence. I've bought a lot of investment properties last year. And I've got about $150,000 to play with now. I'm debating. I don't know what to do, whether I should – the housing market's a little rough right now. Everything's a little high. I'm debating on whether I wait to buy more property or should I lean toward paying off my personal debt. All my properties are paid for, but I have not concentrated on lowering my debt at all. And yeah. I don't know. I'm on the fence on what the best move might be for me in the future.
Yes. All right. Let's talk through that for a second here, Stephen. It's a great question. So you've got this $150,000 nest egg, and then the personal debt that you're describing, what type of debt is it?
It's just houses and vehicles. That's all. That's the only debt I have.
Okay. And is that your primary residence plus additional properties or just your primary?
All my properties are paid for. Okay. That's what I've been concentrating on is just buying investment properties and generating monthly income off that. That's kind of my side. That's what I do on the side.
I like it.
I don't know. I'm at a crossroads right now. The housing market where I'm at in South Georgia is still everything's pretty high.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's best for me to wait, if there's some kind of trend that might be coming where the housing market prices may eventually drop. And I just need to hold on and wait for that. Or maybe do I need to start just, wiping out my own personal debt?
Yeah. Well, it's never a bad idea. I like the idea of you being debt free. Now, I think it's great that you started with those rental properties because obviously those are cash flowing pretty well. You don't have the debt service, so I suspect that's throwing off quite a bit of surplus for you that you could use to get out of the rest of your debt. The $150,000 is that right now in savings or where is it?
I kind of float it back and forth between my money market and savings. Now, most of it's sitting in the money market because my interest rate's a little better.
Yeah, got it. All right. And then do you have any other retirement assets? I know you've been building your real estate assets, but do you have any stock and bond portfolios or a tax-deferred retirement account?
No, sir, I haven't. I've always been a little apprehensive about stocks. I like being able to touch and see and
Yeah. Have some dirt under your feet. I get it.
Right. I like the properties because that's just something that, we'll appreciate in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And then how does that 145 break down between your home and the vehicle?
About 104,000 on the house and the rest of it is two vehicles. I like to go on them.
Yeah, great. And then what is the interest rates roughly on those three loans?
The house is about 3.7 and the vehicles are about 4.5.
All right. And then what do you have in the way of surplus every month when you take, factor in all the income that you have, including what you're throwing off of the rental properties after you put aside for maintenance and upkeep and marketing and, of course, taxes and insurance? What is your true surplus personally?
I'm netting, not including on the rental properties, I'm netting about $5,000 a month extra income after all my overhead. And then I've got another few thousand left over from my job. every month.
So are you thinking you have somewhere between $7,000 and $8,000 in surplus every month?
About $7,500 a month.
About $7,500 a month. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it seems to me like, you know, because you've got, you know, such a great portfolio that you've built here, you've got so much surplus, going ahead and getting out of debt, you know, makes some sense. I'd, of course, start with the cars. Those interest rates a little bit higher, and no reason that you couldn't wipe those out. And then the great thing is, you know, given that you've got such a healthy savings account, you know, you could knock that out in, you know, 5 months, and that's gone. And then now all of a sudden we've got the $7,500 plus those car payments that you were making. So now maybe we're up at $8,500 and now you could start to, you know, send, you know, that to the house and, you know, a year and a half later, that's gone. And now all of a sudden, you know, we've got $9,000, $10,000 a month that you could be putting in to diversify away from real estate. So maybe you start building that stock and bond portfolio. Maybe you start with an allocation of precious metals as well, alongside the stocks and bonds, by funding a Roth IRA every year, you know, at a minimum. Or if you're self-employed, you could open a, you know, a simple or a SEP IRA, something like that. But I think just given your desire to, you know, own real estate, given where the market is right now with it being high, and you're probably not wanting to add to it right here at the moment, you know, it probably makes sense for you to start dumping debt, unless you are comfortable with the debt because it's low interest rates, because you clearly have enough to service it, and you just wanted to continue to sock it away so you could pick up another property here, you know, in the next year or so. I don't see housing prices coming down anytime soon. I think the pace of growth is going to slow, but just purely from supply and demand, housing prices are going to stay high in this country. I don't think we're in a bubble situation. We don't have any systemic problems like we had in 2008, 2009. We're about 2 to 3 million homes short in this country just based on the need that exists today. And the housing starts, they're trying to, you know, get caught up, but those have slowed because of the high interest rates. So I think given all of that, you know, you could go either direction. You're obviously in a really strong financial position. So I would say if your desire is to be ready to buy something else in the next 12 to 24 months, you know, as the time is right, you know, when the housing market continues to slow a little bit, great. If not, let's focus on paying off that debt, starting with the cars. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. But listen, you're in great shape here, Stephen. Kudos to you for just putting yourself in a really strong financial position, building your portfolio, getting that cash flow up, and looking to dump debt. Don't forget the opportunity to give generously as the Lord leads as well. Folks, we're going to take another break. Back with more right after this.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the Giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are Giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity, and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We'd love to hear from you today. We've got a few lines open for your calls and questions. The number 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's head to Indiana. Hi, Jane. How can I help?
Yes. Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my phone call, and thanks for AFR for having you on. Appreciate you very much.
Thank you very much. Yes. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. My question is, my mother passed away last May. My two brothers and I inherited her estate. It is not closed yet. My brother's executor, and some monies have been dispersed. We are wondering about, we've been told different stories, but will there be taxes on her estate? Because it's still open. There's a little bit more money left in. Some of the land and things has been dispersed, but there is money left. We're not sure what to do with that money. We don't want to be taxed individually on personal taxes, nor do we want my mother's estate to be taxed. Can you help me figure this out?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the good news is that there is no estate tax until you get over $13 million. Well, when did the state go in? When was the date of death?
May 10th, 2023.
Okay. Of 2023?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
May 10th of 2023. Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
That's my mother's death.
Okay. Yeah. So for 2023, the federal estate tax, it doesn't kick in until an estate is worth more than $12.9 million. So you've got quite a bit of room there, unless it was just a massive estate over nearly $13 million. There is no estate tax that would be paid, and there is no inheritance tax. So the amount that you received would not be taxable as well. Now, obviously, there's a process that your brother had to follow by filing with the probate court and as the executor, settling any debts and then distributing in a timely manner the assets of the estate. But in terms of the estate, state paying estate tax, there is none federally until it gets above $12.9 million, and there is no inheritance tax, so you certainly wouldn't have any.
Okay. All right. I think that's what we had heard earlier, and I just wanted to make sure. And now, does her estate need to be closed by May 10th, 2024? Is that right? We have a year. My brother has a year to finish everything up, and then is that correct?
Yeah. So you said, yeah, May of 2023.
Yes.
Yeah. So you've got, I mean, typically, no, there's not a hard 12-month deadline there. You know, probate can take some time, anywhere from 12 to even 18 months, depending upon the estate size and complexity. So, you certainly would want to check with the probate court and just see there in the state of Indiana whether there's any kind of rules there. But typically, it can take a while, and there is no set time that it has to be done by.
Okay. Thank you. One question and more, and then I'll be finished. I've been hearing you talk about, I listen to you all the time, probate. This was just handled by a local lawyer. Everything's gone smoothly and everything. This is just handled by a local lawyer. He deeded out the properties and this and that. Is that what you mean when you say probate?
Yes. Well, so typically what would happen is you would file with the probate court. Once after the death occurs, and then the court has to be involved. You file a petition to probate the will with the probate court in your state. You pay the filing fees, and then the court oversees that process. So has all that been done by your brother? I assume it has.
Well, like I said, everything was just handled by a lawyer.
Okay.
We didn't go through court. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we didn't. As far as I know, the lawyer handled, I was deeded a certain amount of property. My brother was deeded a certain amount of property. Monies went, my brother dispersed that. But it was all done through a local lawyer.
Okay.
That was
yeah.
My mother and father's.
Great. Perfect. Yeah. So he would have taken care of that. So he would have followed the steps to, start the probate process by filing the petition with the probate court. That then triggers the notification to all the heirs and the beneficiaries. And then he would probably have worked with your brother to identify the assets and the debts, pay the debts, and then distribute the assets. I mean, those are basically
correct.
The steps there. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, correct. That's exactly what was done. Okay. You have helped me so much. I thank you. God bless you. And continue on, sir.
Well, thank you, Jane. I appreciate your call today. And thanks for your words of encouragement. That means a lot. Let's go to Brandon in Alabama. By the way, we have lines open, 800-525-7000. We've got one more segment coming up. So room for more of your financial questions on any financial topic. We'd love to tackle it today. Again, 800-525-7000. Brandon, how can I help, sir?
Hi, Rob. Thank you for taking my question. I hope that you are living life well today. My question to you today is concerning the newly effective Corporate Transparency Act. We just wanted to know any information that you have on it and what are the requirements and what must business owners start doing to be compliant with this act?
Yeah, this would be a good thing to, run by your CPA. I mean, this went into effect. Well, it came to pass back in 2021, but it doesn't go into effect until this year. So that's why I suspect you're asking about it, because January 1st is when the requirement begins. Basically, it's a federal law. The focus of it is to try to look out for money laundering and other illegal activities through reporting of what are called beneficial owners. So companies have to report this information that's required as of January 1st of this year, and there's penalties if you don't do it. The report has a few key pieces of information. I mean, it's going to obviously, if you're required to do it, it's going to have your full legal name and any trade or DBA names, and then the address of the principal place of business and jurisdiction of formation and taxpayer ID number, that type of thing. And it would have to be reported for each of what are called the beneficial owners of the company. And so every corporation or LLC or entity created by, filing with the Secretary of State is going to be required to file this BOI report, which is the beneficial ownership information, unless it qualifies for an exemption. And so it is not, it's not a very onerous requirement, but it is, something that is going to have to be done. And because it's new, a lot of folks are, probably just, wondering, what do I need to do here? So, any company created before January 1st has to file by January 1st, 2025. So you have all year to do it. And so I would just check in with your CPA or tax preparer on this to kind of help you with this. They're obviously, gearing up to comply with this on behalf of their clients and can give you all the information you need to know or do it for you. But it's a great question because a lot of folks are going to be wondering about it, given that it just went into place this year as of January 1st. Brandon, thanks for checking with us today. We appreciate your call, sir. God bless you. A quick break and then back with our final segment. A lot of calls holding, so we'll get to those right after this. Are you being honest and dependable in your personal money matters? Honesty is one of the first things Jesus requires of new believers. When some tax collectors approached Jesus to be baptized, they asked, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you have been ordered to." You need to be honest to be effective for God's kingdom work.
Tune in to Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
A new year, a new you, a new haven. But as things change, one thing remains the same. The Bible's still all about Jesus. I'm Charles Morris, inviting you to join me as we announce a change after 25 years on Haven Today all week and a series called Keeping It All About Jesus.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Have you downloaded the Faith by app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the Faith by app?
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Before we head back to the phones, let me remind you about the upcoming American Family Association retreat. That's right. It's happening April 3rd through the 6th at the beautiful inn at Purcell Farms. I've never been, but I've wanted to go for years. I'll be there, so I'm going to get to experience Purcell Farms and its southern hospitality in this gorgeous environment. But this is just an incredible retreat for you to pull away, to spend time with the Lord, to hear from the incredible lineup of speakers, delicious food, fellowship with the AFA staff and other AFA supporters. Of course, Tim Walker and Wesley Wildman will be speaking. We'll have so many others. Ed Vitagliano and Tony, Ray Pritchard, Jenna Ellis. I'll be there. Bishop E.W. Jackson. It's going to be just an incredible 3-day event, April 3rd through the 6th. April 3rd through the 6th. And there's only 10 spots left. So 10 rooms remain at the inn at Purcell Farms. And we'd love for you to be there. And so if you'd like to check it out, perhaps lock in one of those 10 rooms, get away and just enjoy some time in a beautiful setting to hear from some speakers and just spend time with the Lord, head to afaretreat.net. That's afaretreat.net. And then join us April the 3rd through the 6th in beautiful Alabama. All right, let's head back to the phones to South Carolina we go. Hi, Gina. How can I help?
Good morning. Good morning. My uncle passed away January 1st of this year. He and my aunt owned a vehicle, but it was financed in his name only. There is money still owed on the vehicle. How does she need to handle that to, you know, make sure she can finish paying for the vehicle and get it in her name?
Yeah. Well, so this would normally be handled as a part of the probate process. So normally the title submitted would be issued in the name of the deceased owner. And then, the title then can be applied for in the inheritor's name. once that process is taken care of. So obviously, you know, she would likely be the one inheriting, either because it's named in the will or just by virtue of their marriage, anything that was his, including this car. So what would happen is, you know, as a part of that process with the estate documents in place and the death certificate, she should be able to then retitle that in her name as a part of that process. Who is the executor? Is she the executor on the estate?
I'm not sure. She just got the death certificates back, and she really wants to handle this. And her will, that was going to be my next question. Does the estate need to be executed? They own the home and vehicle, and that is all the property that they had. I believe in the will, it states that he inherits everything.
As
that goes.
Yes, ma'am. Everything. Normally, the state will require that the will be filed with the probate court, it's possible to avoid the probate process, especially because, this is such a simple situation. What she could do would just be to take the death certificate, you know, to the Department of Motor Vehicles or the county office and, you know, just talk to them about what would happen and how she should go about it. I mean, typically the estate goes through the probate process. There are some circumstances that allow you to bypass that if it's smaller. So is there an estate attorney, perhaps the person who did the will, that she could reach out to and just find out, given how simple this is, you know, what her next step should be?
Most likely. And I'm the one helping her with that. She was wanting to contact the finance company because there is still money owed. And I didn't want her to have to refinance it. She is on a fixed income, and he mainly made annual payments on this vehicle. He received a lump sum inheritance every January. So the last 2 years, he would, you know, make an annual payment on the car. So at this point, she's got to make payments, but she don't want to make payments on a car if she's not going to be able to keep it due to the finance company not allowing her to, you know, to continue paying on as is. Can't afford much more as far as the payment goes.
Yeah, very good. Well, I think what I would encourage her to do is, as a next step, just reach out to that attorney that drafted the will in the first place and have that attorney just counsel you and your aunt on the next steps just related to the laws there in South Carolina. If it's a very simple situation and a smaller estate, which it clearly it is, there could just be a simple affidavit from the court that she would then present to the, in this case, the financial institution related to the car, and then work with the servicer plus the county to get that title moved over, and then she can resume the payments as well. And obviously, we need to keep the payments current anyway, you know, coming from the estate even before she gets it moved over into her name.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Gina. We appreciate your call today. May the Lord bless you. Thank you very much. Let's head to, let's see here. Diane is in Alabama. Go right ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I have built a house 2 years ago, and of course went a little over budget, so I borrowed $30,000 from our retirement fund. We're paying it back $1,000 a month. We've got it down to $20,000. Now, I am saving, trying to build back up my emergency fund, and I have $17,000 in it. My husband suggested the other day maybe we should take some of that emergency fund and put it back, maybe $10,000 put back into our loan, and we would be making more interest. Right now, we're making hardly no interest on the savings account. What do you say?
Yeah, well, I'd like for you to have the liquidity that comes with that emergency fund, as opposed to trying to, you know, accelerate that payback, because the reality is the interest you're paying on that 401, did you borrow it from a 401k or what did you borrow it from?
A 403B.
Okay, so the interest you're paying on that, you're paying to yourself. Now, what you may want to do, though, is consider moving that emergency fund, which is $17,000 today, and you're continuing to add to it, to a high-yield savings account that gives you a little better rate of return. And what I would typically advise folks to do is leave your checking account right where it is, where you probably have a long-standing relationship, but open an online savings account with an online bank that's FDIC insured, link it to your checking account electronically, and then you can move money back and forth at no cost through the ACH system. So what I would typically advise folks to do is go to bankrate.com, find the online bank with FDIC insurance that's paying the best rate. And, you know, you'll find some pretty attractive rates right now. I mean, and with high yield savings, I mean, you can get 4.6. You can even get as much as 5% right now with full liquidity. I mean, it's really just a savings account with that FDIC insurance. And so, and then you link it up to your checking account. That way, you've got the money liquid and available. If something unexpected came, you don't have to go back to the 401k and borrow again, but you're also getting a better rate of return while the money's sitting there. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. Thank you so much. I didn't know that. And so at bankrate.com, if I were to put my savings in an account there, you can all use a different bank to do the transferring?
That's right. Yeah. So bankrate.com is just going to list, it's not the bank itself, it's just going to list all the banks that have the very best rates right now. So when you get there, right there at the top of the page, you'll click high yield savings, and then you'll see a list of all the banks that have the very best rates. So CIT Bank right now is offering 5.05, and you'll see American Express, and you'll see SoFi, and, you know, a lot of these that have Synchrony is offering 4.75 right now. Any of those with FDIC insurance, I would be comfortable with you opening a savings account. And then once you do it, you'll connect it to your checking account electronically. And then that way you just move the money back and forth as you need it.
Even if it's two different banks.
Absolutely, yes. Through the ACH system, it'll take 2 to 3 days each time you move money, but there won't be any fees, and it'll be very safe to do.
Oh, wonderful. I didn't know about that. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome, Diane. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Linda and Crystal, I apologize we didn't get to your calls today. I'd love to get you on the program tomorrow. If you want to stay right there, Robert will get your information, and we'll see if we can get you up first on the broadcast tomorrow morning. Thanks for your call today. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today on the broadcast. Thanks for all your questions. Let me just again mention, we'd love for you to check out the AFA retreat. There's still time for you to get in, but it's not going to last long because, as I mentioned, there is only 10 spots left. So head to afaretreat.net, read all about it. You'll see the schedule there, all the speakers. You can learn more about the beautiful inn at Purcell Farms. Again, that's afaretreat.net. It will be full up here in just a matter of time. So don't miss out on that opportunity. Hey, on behalf of my team today, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, and Robert Sutherland, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're so grateful that you joined us today. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and come back and tune in tomorrow. We'll be here, Lord willing, to do it all over again. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.